Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. I don't know if they did it on purpose. They probably, they couldn't have, but How Great Thou Art and It Is Well With My Soul are two of my absolute favorite songs. And so I'm very blessed to be able to preach really behind that kind of worship. So thank you all very, very, very much for that. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to be at tonight. And I know the screen says verses 1 through 16, and we will look at those. We're going to start in verse 8. Lord willing, that's where we'll kind of focus in, and then we'll kind of backtrack, if you will. We're going to talk about a man named Elisha. And I really, really like Elisha. I like his mindset. I like his attitude. From the moment we meet him for the very first time in the Bible up until the time that he's no longer with us, Elisha just is a man that followed God. And I know his predecessor gets a lot. Everybody talks about Elijah. And rightly so. Elijah was awesome. But Elisha, he had his moment of glory, if you will, serving the Lord. And we're going to look at one of these moments right here, right now. So if you have your Bible, please stand with me. And we'll begin reading in verse number 8. And the Bible says, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall now know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and he said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hands over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pephara, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers and waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if thy prophet had bid thee to come and do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again into the flesh of like a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and he stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But as he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will not receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord. We thank you for even the break in the heat and the rain that you sent us, God. Lord, we praise you, and I pray now that we would hear from your word, and Lord, we would go out different from how we came in. It's in your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's nice to get this rain in, and I was joking with Brother Chuck that you're in New Mexico when you have to go and look at the rain. You know, anybody else, any other state, it's like, oh, it's rain. In New Mexico, oh, it's rain. We get a little bit more excited about that. But it's good. It was nice to see that the temperatures out of the hundreds and even the 90s and in the 80s on the way to church. That was nice. Anyhow, looking at this passage, I entitled the message, Doing It God's Way. And I'd like to think that everybody here on a Sunday night would have some inclination to say, you know what, I want to do it God's way. I have a desire to do and follow the Lord. I want to trust him. I want to take him at his word and follow his instructions. And this morning we talked about following the instructions and how important that is and how we should follow them to the best of our ability and follow them to a T. But now we see here there's a man that he's a very, very powerful and influential man. He has a lot going for him, but he has a problem. That problem is leprosy. Now, I don't know if you guys have studied leprosy much, but it's a very, very nasty, vile disease. And it causes your skin to just rot away, and it'll usually start in your fingers and your nose and in different things like that and kind of work its way up. It's very, very nasty. It's also very, very contagious. If you study the Bible, lepers would have to be outside of the villages, and they'd have to cry unclean if anybody came near them. They weren't allowed to go back in. And before they could, let's say they were healed, they were supposed to go to the priest and have the priest examine them, make sure that they were actually clean. reason is because nobody wants leprosy. This was not like getting even a common cold. This was pretty much the end all of be all of your life. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And so Nahum, he's in Syria. If you read the beginning of chapter 1, and we can kind of back up, if you will. It says he was the captain of the host of kings of Syria. He was a great man. He was a master. He was honorable. He had a lot going for him. All in verse 1, you can see that, except he has this problem with leprosy. And so his maidservant tells him, hey, there's a guy in Israel. There's a prophet. And as the Bible calls him, there's a man of God. Did you notice that as we read that a couple times? It kept saying, the man of God, the man of God, the man of God. You see, it wasn't by Elisha's power that he was able to do anything for Nahum. It was all through God. It all comes back to him and Elisha saying, I'm willing to be used by God. I'm willing to let God do something in my life. So, that's where we picked up. Nahum goes, and he goes to the king of Israel, and he says, hey, I heard you got somebody to clean me. I heard you can help me. That's why the king of Israel started sweating buckets. He rips his clothes and he rents his stuff and he goes, oh, what have I done to incur this wrath of Syria upon me? I can't heal this guy. And he was right. The king of Syria could not heal this man. Or the king of Israel could not heal this man. He needed a man of God. And so Elisha hears what's going on and he steps up and says, hey, just send him to me. You know, let God take care of this. Don't worry about it. God will do it. And so Nahum comes to him, and look at verse 10. I love verse 10. Elisha, he doesn't even go out. What's he do? He sends a messenger. I mean, this is just typical Elisha. He's not worried. So a lot of us, man, we would have been rushed out there, and, oh, Nahum, you awesome man, you. Not Elisha. He just sends a messenger with a simple message. And that's the first thing is, sometimes God's way can be so simple that it's hard. Now, I'm going to make a couple statements tonight that if you're not paying attention, you're going to sit there and scratch your head and say, this doesn't make any sense. But sometimes God's way can be so simple in our life that it becomes hard. And the reason it becomes hard is because of us. We get confused. We like to overanalyze things and overcomplicate things. And, you know, there's some, God's blessed everybody with different personalities, has he not? Have you ever met somebody? Let's just take painting this room. We've got the nice A-frame and the wood coming in. Obviously, we wouldn't want the paint to get on that. Some of us would look at that and we'd go, no problem. Just put some tape up there and go to it. And then other people would probably overanalyze painting and cutting in that what would take a couple of us maybe a day or two to paint could take them a week or so to paint. Because they have to just break everything down. Like, well, let's empty the church out first. And I don't agree with that. I'd say let's cover the piano and take the stuff off the walls and go for it. But some people would want to empty it and then put down this and put down that. And maybe they're right, and maybe I'm just too fast in painting. I'm not a big painter and don't claim to be. But we'll overanalyze things if we're not careful. And we'll sit there and we'll be like, I don't get this. I remember one of the first times I took golf lessons. And my golf instructor probably wrote every rule book and handbook and instructional book and everything there is to know about golf. Because that's how he talked, and that's how he, it's like, and golf is really a game of intricacies, excuse me. But it was grab here, hold here, interlock your fingers. I think I had to hold my breath and spin around 3 times. I don't really remember everything, but I learned enough to know that I didn't really like golf. It was not so much my forte. I still enjoy it, but it was getting too... It was so simple it became hard. Really, what's the game of golf? Take the club, hit the ball, put the ball in the hole. That's what I wanted to do, you know. But that was not coming to pass. It wasn't coming to fruition. It wasn't happening because the simple had become hard. Was Elisha's message hard for this man? No. It was so simple that this man, Nahum, said, "You know what? No." He was supposed to come out. I don't know why. You guys ever get a vision of something, you think this is how it's supposed to be, and then it's totally not like that? Well, that's what Nahum was going through. He's like, Elisha was supposed to come out and put his hands and call down power from God, and it was just supposed to rock my world, and then I would wake up and my skin would be perfectly clean. That's what Nahum was empowering. And so when he heard, hey, go wash in the water, it became hard for him. His own way of thinking got in and kind of screwed everything up. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll hear from God. We'll know what we're supposed to do. We'll hear the instructions, and we know that we want to follow him, but we'll decide to do our own thing. and we'll decide to go our own path. We've heard it. We've heard it 1,000 times. You know, especially I can go back to teaching at school. And this year was the first year that I ever taught math. And it was pre-algebra, and it was pretty straightforward. And you say, you do this, you get this, result. But these kids would want to do their own thing. Say, well, I want to go this route. And they can, you're welcome. You know, we're always welcome to go our own route. But instead of being simple, sometimes it becomes hard. And then sometimes it just flat out becomes wrong. Proverbs tells us that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. There's a way that we think is the right way to do something. But the end result, it's death. And that's a problem. There's something that we need to wake up and say, hey, maybe, even if it is simple, we'll follow it. Oftentimes, it's, you know, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to follow God. And then you talk to somebody about salvation, and they'll say, oh, well, there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, look at all the religions. You know, if you kind of categorize every religion out there, Christianity is a very small minority that places it in faith alone through Jesus Christ. Everybody else, you know, just complicates it and goes, oh, you got to earn it, you got to work for it, you got to do this. No, it's a childlike faith. It's something very simple that great theologians with brilliant minds have managed to just pollute and ruin and make it super hard. Don't know why, but they like to. The Bible says maybe it's pride. Pride's an issue when things become hard, when the simple becomes hard, because the Bible says that through wicked and through the pride of his countenance, we will not seek after God. God is not in our thoughts. Listen, that's a very hard saying there at the end of Psalms 10:4. God's not in the thoughts of the proudful. If we have pride in our life and we're living a very proud life, God's not in that. And a lot of times we'll think that he is, and we'll say, oh, no, this is God's way. Well, he puts it out there. If pride's involved, simply God's not. Maybe it's unbelief that causes us to not want to follow the simple path. Maybe Naaman's thinking, well, he did say, he goes, aren't the other rivers in Syria just as good? Can't I just do it this way? It's like, nah, that's not how it should be. 1 Corinthians says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And he's chosen the weak things of this world to confound those which are mighty. Nahum, he was strong and mighty, and he was getting all confused about something very, very simple. And if we're not careful, we can fall in that same trap. We can say, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And maybe it's fear. Maybe fear is what keeps us from following God's simple plan. And we think, I got to put it all in my own. I got to control all the pieces. That's a lot of people's mentality. A lot of times, if your personality, you've got to see everything and you've got to be in control and that's your type. That's hard to sit back and say, okay, God, I won't see everything, but I'll trust you. I'll trust that you'll work this out for good. Psalms has a couple easy verses about fear. The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Listen, when it comes to following God's plan and you just say, I can't do it, that's what you say, you're right, I can't do it. I'm going to trust in God. And God's going to help me do it. Psalms tells us in verse 56, verse 4, the very next verse, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do to me. Listen, it's putting it back on God, saying, God, I'm going to follow your simple instructions. Again in Psalms, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though these awesome and wonderful and maybe scary things are taking place, we're not going to fear, we're not going to be afraid, we're going to continue to trust in God. Listen, don't let God's simple directions in your life become so misconstrued, so complicated, so hard because of these type of things. Another thing that we can see about doing it God's way is sometimes God's way can be so easy. We need encouragement. Now again, you say, well, if it's easy, why would I need encouragement? Well, Nahum got some really easy instructions. Go down to the water, dip yourself 7 times, come back up, you'll be clean. Think about that. Has anybody here ever been affected by an illness? Some type of illness, whether it be a physical ailment or something, disease? I would say most of us probably either have or know somebody close to us that has been. If we say go out to the Rio Grande, which if you've been out there lately, it's a pretty nasty water. I can see Nahum saying that's a nasty river. Yeah, okay. Dip 7 times and you'll be free. Your cancer will be gone. Your bad back will be healed. Your diabetes will be removed. And that Rio Grande would be so packed full of people, would it not? Absolutely it would. I mean, that is so simple. It's so easy, But Nahum still needed to be encouraged. His counterpart, his servant, said, hey, boss, if Elisha had given us something really, really hard to do, would you have done it? And you can kind of see Nahum like, yo, yeah, I would have done it. I would have led the war. I would have gone and done this. I would have conquered a lion. I would have done whatever it took. And he says, well, this is so much easier. Shouldn't we just go do that? Shouldn't we just go and follow God's easy way and try to encourage him? Listen, there's going to be people that are trying to follow God's way that are going to get discouraged. And sometimes, they just, even though it's easy, even though it's something like this, they're going to need somebody to come along and just say, hey, I just want to encourage you. The Bible says in Proverbs that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Y'all ever had that right word said to you at the right time just when you needed it? Maybe you haven't. I have. I've experienced those actually in the last couple days. And it's just been, in God's timing, the right word of encouragement came right when I needed it most. And I'm telling you, when those things happen, man, it's just, whew, yeah, it's awesome. You're like, thank you, Lord. And sometimes the other person may have no idea. You have no idea what you just did, but God does. And this person sure does. And you may never know until the other side of glory, but there's sometimes just a simple word of encouragement can go so, so very far. I'll tell you a quick story and I'll move on. I had the privilege of coaching our boys' basketball team this year. It's great. Awesome. And we were playing this one team, and they had this tremendous ball player. He was good. And they beat us. We beat him the second time, but they beat us the first time. And I went up to him after the game, and I said, man, you know, man, that's awesome. Like, you really have some awesome skill. Are you a junior? Are you a senior? And he says, oh, I'm just a junior. And I was like, well, I tried to encourage him to play some AAU ball, and to have his coaches make some tapes of him and send him out to colleges. He's about 6'4", 6'5". The kid was good. He's got a legitimate shot of maybe playing some college ball somewhere. And that was it. I kind of left it like that. The next day, I get an email from this kid's dad, and he's just very, very humble and very thankful for the encouraging words that I had said to his son. I had no idea what his son was going through. I had no idea what was going on in that kid's life. All I did was, hey, man, you're a good ball player. That was it. I mean, it was very surface level in my opinion. But to this young man, it was the greatest thing he'd heard all day. And I don't say that because of me. I'm saying because I am still humbled by the effect that it had on that young man. I did not understand, and I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me this, that words of encouragement really can go a long way. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Where do we do that at, church? I just gave you the answer. We do it at church. You can't be comforting yourselves together when we're not meeting together. It's so important why we don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Comfort, edify one another, build each other up, and just see how easy. You know, Satan would love nothing more than for you to be on doing God's way and then be discouraged. What if we replace verse 13 with something like this? His servant said unto him, let's go kill Elijah. Let's go kill Elisha. They were wrong. Those dirty jerks. Just, you know, anything could have been said in there. Anything that would have kept Nahum from going and dipping in that river. Nahum probably wouldn't have done it. We don't know. Maybe he would have waited. Maybe he would have stayed in that leprosy state for even longer. But the fact of the matter is, praise the Lord, this servant stepped up and said, hey, I get it. Kind of angry right now, but this is something really easy, and maybe I can just encourage you to keep on doing it. Look for ways to be encouraging. Look for ways to just come up and say, hey, you know, I don't know why, but the Lord led me to tell you this. And don't blow smoke. I can't stand when people want to blow smoke. Don't blow smoke people up people's face. You know what I mean? Like, just saying stuff to say it. But really ask God to show you how you can encourage somebody. The person sitting next to you may need more encouragement than you ever could realize. Look for a way to build them up. And the last thing we see here is God's way can be so great that we quit. How many people quit God's way? They just quit. You know, it's sad to say that if I had to give a statistic, I would say probably less than 10% of the people that I went to Bible college with. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about going to church at all. How does that happen? How do kids that go to Bible college not even go into the ministry, but quit serving God at all? People quit on God all the time. All the time, people quit. People quit going to church. They quit reading their Bible. They quit praying. They quit. And that's what Satan wants. He cannot take our salvation, and praise the Lord that he can't do that. But what can he do? He can get us to quit. You don't need to go to church today. You don't need to go do this. This is more important. Sunday school, you need to sleep in. Let's think about this for the most. Most of our jobs, Sunday school already is sleeping in. Is it not? It doesn't start till 10. Most of your job, most of the people I'm looking at are already at work and in the thick of it by 8 o'clock. You've already gotten up. You've already got your coffee. Some of you are at work long before 8 o'clock. You're like, I wish I could go to work at 8. 10 o'clock is sleeping in. Don't buy into the lies of Satan and throw in the towel and say, oh, I'm just going to quit. You say, well, let's look at Nahum. How many times did he have to go into the river? How many? 7. It's not a trick question. 7 times. What if he had gone into the river? And we know his mind is still kind of aggravated. He goes in. All right, I'm in here. I'm in the river. I'm in the Jordan. I'll dip myself. Comes up. Maybe he stepped on a rock. I mean, that's annoying. You ever stepped on rocks and barefoot in water? It hurts. Come check my thumb out after church. When I was 4, I was in a creek with my brothers, and I fell and caught myself like this, and somebody had broken a bottle and threw it in the creek, and so when I went down, my hand went right through that, and to this day, I still can't bend my thumb for that. So, fun fact, bet you didn't know that. See what happens if you don't come to church? You don't learn these cool facts. No, but seriously, what if he got, I dipped, I'm not clean. Or he went down the second time and he comes up and maybe the leprosy is getting irritated by something in the water. And the third time. And then he goes down the fourth time and people are starting to murmur, man, you're a captain of hosts, man. You shouldn't be doing this. And that fifth time, he's really like, oh, nothing is changing. And that sixth time, nothing is happening and he would have quit. I think about the children of Israel as they marched around Jericho. They went around once. Went around twice and so on and so forth up until that last day where they're still marching around. What if they had quit? What if they said, we've marched around this thing so many times and nothing's happening? Here's why I bring that out. Because Satan wants nothing more for you to quit praying for that estranged person in your life. That person who you think there's no hope for, because he's saying, how many days, how many months, how many weeks have you invested in prayer in this and God's not answering you? So just quit. Quit praying for their salvation. Quit praying for them to come back to God. Quit, 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 quit. That's what he wants you to buy into. Praise the Lord, Nahum said, 7 times? I'll dip 7 times. And he didn't quit. And really, thankfully for him, he didn't quit. And what's the Bible say? He came up and his flesh came into him like the flesh of a little child. And parents out there know what that flesh and that baby smooth that the Bible's trying to talk about there. A grown man now is instantly just the, every lady in the world probably wishes they could have Nahum's skin at that point, because it is just smooth as can be. No wrinkles, no blemish. I believe that if Nahum had suffered with any type of a skin disease, pimples, eczema, anything, it was now gone. He was perfect. Because again, we talked about when God's involved and he does things, he doesn't just kind of halfway do them. He does them all the way through completion. But sometimes we won't go all the way through with the completions. I heard this awesome saying this week, and this is what I want to focus on, and I'm almost done. Don't just pray for things. Pray through things. Pray all the way through and do not quit until you get out on the other side and God has abundantly and made it clear he's answered it one way or the other. Do not grow weary in well-doing. The Bible makes it clear that a lot of times, you know, we'll pray for things and we'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray and nothing will happen. And if we're not careful, we'll be given in to that temptation to just throw in the towel. Say, well, I've gone to church for so many years and it's not worth it, so I'm going to quit. God's way can be so easy that people quit. Thankfully for Nahum, he decided to persevere and go through. You know what? If we start looking and we start kind of jogging our mind and thinking, we probably know a person or two that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Said, they quit for whatever reason. Don't let that be you. Don't be the one that says, I'm going to throw in the towel and give up. Here's what Isaiah says. It says, but if we will be willing to wait upon the Lord, then we shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Thessalonians says this, but brother, be not weary in well-doing. If you have served the Lord and you've served him faithfully, you've probably become weary in well-doing at some point. It gets tough. It gets hard. You feel like you're always working on just unfertile, unsoiled ground, and you're just spinning your wheels. And here's this reminder. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Why? Galatians answers that. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. And that's the part that we don't always know when that due season's coming. But rest assured, we're going to reap if we faint not. If we can make it through to that due season, if we can get to that point, that's when the harvest comes in. It's not, let us not be weary in well-doing for whenever you decide you're going to reap. It's already been predetermined by our Heavenly Father that says, hey, I want you to work through this. When you come out on the other side, this is what I'm going to have for you. Nahum, 7 times. Me, could be you, could be 7 times, could be 7 years. We don't quite know when God's going to give that through. Here's what 2 Corinthians tells us. It says, for our light affliction, which is just for a moment, works far for us for a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Here's what that's saying. A lot of times we get caught up in the temporal. We'll say, man, this is tough. This is hard. ACE, it's taking up my Saturday. Sunday's taking up, church takes up my Sundays. Yada, yada, yada. That's all light affliction, folks. And it's just for a moment. And it's working on something that's going to last forever. It's going to go on forever. And you've got to ask yourself, are you going to live a life that's going to say, I'm going to lay up earthly treasures, or I'm going to lay up heavenly treasures? If you want a good return on your investment, lay up heavenly treasures. 2 Timothy, this is it, and I'm done in my last verse for you guys. Paul's writing, and he's saying, I'm getting ready to go home. And this is a familiar verse for many people. It says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's keep it right there for a second. I have kept the course. I have fought a good fight. I finished it, and I kept the faith. There should be nothing more in your life than you want to be able to say when you're about to take your last breath than those words right there. You look at it, and you say, this is it. This is what I'm doing. I have kept it. I am finishing my course. I'm going all the way. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there's 2 men right here, Pastor Cox and Pastor Thorpe. I was thinking about both of these men as I was preparing. They've both pastored. You've done your time, haven't you? Maybe once or twice. They've put their dues in. But you know what? These 2 men right here and their wives are some of the most faithful members in our church. They're not sitting back. And I don't say this to puff them up. I say it because it's true. They would have every reason to sit back and say, I've already done this. I've already pastored my churches. We're done. And just come and fill a seat. And they're saying, no. I want to go all the way through. I'm not going to quit. What a great visual testimony we have from these people right here. And many others in our church. And I use those 2 simply because if somebody had an excuse to quit, we could say maybe it's them. But they're not, and neither should we. Paul could have quit long, long before he quit. He could have quit. He said, listen, I fought a good fight. I've done it. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And here's why. Here's why these men and their wives are saying, we're going to finish our course, is because of verse 8. It says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This is what's going on, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And here's the caveat. Paul's saying, but not just to me, but to all those that love his appearing. Man, God's way is a great way, and it's so great that sometimes we just want to quit. Bible says not to quit. It says to stand strong, finish the job, go all the way through. We had the open house yesterday, and there was a family that goes to the school. They don't go to the church, and they have 2 little boys, and they're out lizard hunting. Is that what their mom said? Lizard, snake hunting, something like that. And the older brother got tired and wanted to quit. And the younger brother, who's he's K-4, right? Trevor's K-4 with you? Yeah. And he says, Mr. Adams, and he's got a sweet little voice, says, don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm trying to teach the kids in elementary and PE, not to quit. You know, finish the game, even if you're losing, whatever the case may be. And here's a little 4-year-old that's trying to tell his brother, his older brother, don't quit on lizard hunting. Keep going. And I was blessed me to hear that little boy trying to apply what he has learned. But how much more so on spiritual things when we know what God's way is, We see it lined out. Sometimes it's so simple it's hard, or it's so easy we get discouraged, or it's so great that we quit. Let this kind of be our saying, hey, not me. I'm going to keep my main thing the main thing and keep my eyes on the Lord. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. Church, I just want to encourage you tonight, do it the Lord's way. And when you do it the Lord's way, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it, God doesn't want us to live a miserable life. He doesn't. Sure, there's going to be some ups and downs and some bumps and bruises, but I really believe that a Christian can live a victorious life through and only through the power of Jesus Christ. So I hope tonight you will resolve within your own spirit to say, I will do it God's way. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do it his way. Maybe tonight that's what you're doing. Praise the Lord if you are. But look for a chance to encourage others. Look for a chance to invest in others. Look for a chance to be a blessing and say, hey, can I help you? Can I pray for you? I'll tell you something real quick. If you're having a hard time with somebody, start praying for them. Start praying for them and watch how your attitude will just change towards them. It's hard to be upset at somebody that you are praying for. And it's easy to love somebody that you're praying for. Look for ways to be encouraging. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your word. We thank you for, God, just the awesomeness that you are. And Lord, you loved us so much that you sent your son for us. God, that he died for us. And he did these things so that we could follow him and live after him. And Lord, I just pray that would be our desire. When we hear your word, when we see your instructions, when we see what's going on, God, that we'd be determined in our own spirit to follow you no matter what. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in your son's most precious name we pray. Amen.